You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Episode 213, How to Save Your First $100,000.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Woo, 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 woo.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast. My name is Jen.
My name is Jill.
And today we are talking about the most difficult amount of money that you will save, your first $100K. How do you feel about saving $100,000, Jill?
Well, if you can't tell by my little intro song, I feel excited, challenged, like I got an actual goal in mind. I think it's great, especially for those who might be finished with debt payoff. If you're not, that's totally fine. That is still a fantastic goal. But I think once we get to debt payoff, we can wonder, well, now what do I do with all these frugal skills that I've built and an ability to reach a goal? And this feels, it feels in some ways lofty, but yet also attainable, especially after having perused these articles. So I'm excited to get into it and inspire myself and inspire the listeners.
Yes. But first, our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by the 2022 Spending Symposium, June 27th through 30th. Woo! So if you guys were with us last year, you remember we had a Frugal Living Summit last July. It's in June this year, but it is 4 days of interviews. We have over 20 speakers with us, and we are honing in on spending. That's literally all we are talking about for 4 days. Why do we spend? How do we spend better? How do we optimize our spending? It's all around that aspect to try and help you either conquer overspending, feel better about spending in your budget, whatever issues you have with spending. And so it's 4 days just talking about that. So registration opens in 2 weeks. And this is a free event. So be sure, if you're not already on our email list, head to frugallivingsummit.com to get on the wait list to be the first to know when registration opens. But we are so excited. June is going to be an awesome, awesome month that caps off with this great event.
And it's so fun. It's all virtual. So no worries if you're traveling or you need to be home, you can jump on, engage as you're able. And we've got live happy hours that happen each night. So if you want to join us live, that can happen too, but all from the comfort of your computer or your phone for free.
Yes. So if you are as excited about saving $100,000 as I am, that was a huge milestone for us to do. And I know that it is the hardest for most people. So if you want to queue up a few other inspirational and informational episodes to play after this one, we love episode 165, Where to Save Your Money, because what we're going to be talking about today is a little bit different from what we talk about in 165, but both are kind of essential. And then episode 204, How to Transition from Spender to Saver, because that's a skill you're going to need if you want to save $100,000.
But now,
the headlines. Let's let's get into our articles for the week. This first one is from Four Pillar Freedom, and it's called The Math That Explains Why Net Worth Goes Crazy After the First 100K. So we wanted to put it first out why it's so hard, why it's so important, and some of the math that goes behind it. What'd you think of this one, Jill?
So I have a confession to make to you, Jen, and I'm going to do it publicly on this podcast that this article opened my eyes to. We were talking a while back about our membership that we have, that we get to enjoy just more relationship, more community over in that membership. And you were expressing a goal at one point that you want to help women get to their first $100,000 in savings. And I was so on board. I'm like, how beautiful, Jen. This is amazing. You know, that sounds so cool. Helping women get to 100K in savings or net worth. Awesome, let's do it. But to me, it kind of felt like just a cool arbitrary number. Like, sure, we're aiming at six figures. That sounds like something people might want to do. Let's go for it. I support you. And I don't think it was until I read this article that there's actual math and reasoning behind that six-figure number. And I really like how this particular article explains that in the beginning, that they noticed this trend of people who saved their first $100,000. Now they're talking about savings and investments, but how they didn't really see exponential growth in that or a huge dent in their savings until they got to that six-figure mark. So saving up until that point is still valuable and worthwhile, but we're not really going to see the benefit of compound interest until that 100,000 mark, until we see the scales start to turn. So it's not just an arbitrary number. There is a reason to aim at that number in order to see a noticeable impact in the wealth building and what our future can look like. And what a remarkable aim to put our frugal skill set to be able to notice something profound for our future. And it doesn't even have to be that distant of a future if we can start aiming at this now. So that's my confession and my reaction to this article, that it really helped something click for me of, oh, this is why it's a decent aim. It's at that point that we really see a big shift in our ability to make more money.
Yeah, I don't always do a good job of explaining why I think things are important. I just am really good at telling you things are important. But yeah, so it's not just an arbitrary number. But part of it is, like, you do get a mindset shift because we are used to seeing numbers in like five digits, like annual salaries or like bonuses. That's kind of like, five digits are kind of the max for most people. We are not conditioned to see six-figure numbers. And so the first time you see a six-figure number, not only does the math click, but your reality shifts as well, because it's a number that people don't get to until maybe later in life, until they don't have all of the time for compound interest to build. So if we can make that shift earlier with our money and our mindset and get used to six-figure numbers, then the change doesn't just compound in the accounts, but it can change in our minds as well. And that's a big reason why that six-figure number is so important. But it is also the hardest to get because of the math. And if you're in our membership, you'll see in the Personal Finance Simplified course that we have in there, we actually have a lesson about compound interest and investing. And you can see that it's what James Clear refers to as like the plateau of latent potential. And you think that your growth is going to be this linear path. It's just going to go like straight up. But what we see is that really it's, if you zoom out, the first 10, 15, 20 years is pretty flat. You're going up a little bit. And then once you hit that 10, 15 year mark, you start to make like crazy growth. And once you hit the 20 year mark, it doesn't even go like, you know, east, west anymore. It's just going straight north. Like that line looks like it's going straight up.
It's a slide you don't want to go down.
Right. Yeah. So it is, but you have to get through that first 10, 15 years where the progress looks pretty flat. And that's where this 100,000 mark is. And we have a graph where it shows you on the path to a million what that first 100,000 looks like. And it's the shift is kind of crazy.
For anyone who has a mortgage, it's a similar concept. Those first few years, it's primarily interest. And then the last years, it's primarily principal. And yeah, that's not quite the way that we want to work towards wealth, but it's that kind of concept where there's a lot of heavy lifting at the front and then you just see amazing results towards the end, but even better with saving and investing than with paying down interest on your house. But with the way that they break down the math, I think it was helpful for me to digest and felt attainable. And I also liked how they gave a realistic expectation for how long this would take. Mm-hmm. So they give a basic example of someone investing $10,000 annually with an interest rate of 7%. Obviously, you're not always guaranteed that. This is just the numbers that they're working with. Interest rate of 7%, it would take a little over 7 years for you to reach that $100,000 mark. But I would say investing, saving $10,000 a year is relatively attainable for the average person. Your average salary could potentially do this. Maybe you'd have to add in a side hustle. Maybe it would take you a few years to get to that point, and that's fine too. But it also felt pretty typical, pretty average if you were going, you know, decently hard at saving that amount of money, which again, I like attainable. I like what can be sought after for the typical average person. You know, if the average household is earning collectively $60,000, then this is possible. Obviously, there are people who that's not the case and it will take longer, but recognize, you know, 7 years isn't short. So even if it's 10 years, 15 years, it's still worth aiming at because like we're describing here, you're going to see exponential growth once you hit that mark. 10, 15 years might feel like a long time, but let's still get after it because once you reach that 10, 15 years, the amount of time that it takes to reach the next $100,000 is going to be even shorter than that. So that was helpful for me, that bite-size understanding of, oh, here's how I can break it down into smaller goals.
Yeah. And we don't want to minimize $10,000 a year for somebody who's never invested before. That's a lot. You don't have to start there. It's totally okay. Like
I'm not doing it yet. I'll clarify. I'm not doing it yet. It just felt like, oh, okay. In one year, it's less than $1,000 a month.
Yeah. So you can start with $10 a month and work your way up. I think 10 years to get to $100,000 is a totally reasonable goal. And typically, when you set your eyes on something that's 10 years away, you end up doing it in a fraction of the time as well. So if you set a 10-year goal, you're likely going to reach it in that, you know, 7.84 that we're seeing here, or even less. You just have to start working towards it. But yeah, so 7.84 is what they are. And I love I use the 7% when I calculate retirement savings too, because a diversified portfolio will usually return that. So 7.84, and then your next 100K, this is the hypothetical Shannon. Shannon is our hypothetical friend who invests $10,000 a year. If Shannon changes nothing and keeps investing for the next 10 years, or for the next like however many, she reaches her second $100,000 in 5.1 years. And so how does that happen? It's because of compound interest. Every time your money can build on other money, it's going to grow faster. And so that's why it always takes, when you're starting at zero, you have nothing to compound on. That's why the first 100K is going to take the longest. And then it's going to get shorter every 100K from there. So we get just over 5 years to double the money, essentially. And then for the next, we go down to 3.78 years. And then we go down to 3 years. And then we go down to $100,000 in 2.5 years. So that's over. Our hypothetical friend Shannon has gone from zero to $500,000 in 22 years. But that path, and you can even see right on this graph, it has not been linear. The first 7.84 of that years was the flattest. And then we get a little bit more curve up for the next 100K and a little bit more curve up. And then once we get to a million, that graph just starts shooting up. But I thought it was really, even like for somebody that has saved it, to see those time blocks get shorter and shorter on this graph is super eye-opening and encouraging, especially when I feel like my saving is kind of arbitrary at this point.
Yeah, I also really enjoyed the graph that showed what growth on our savings and investing would look like at different interest rates, because I think that's always the hole that we want to poke in this of, oh, well, you're not going to get 12% interest. You're not going to get 10% interest. You're going to be 7% interest. So it's helpful to see what the growth looks like. Obviously, it's less growth if it's a 3% interest, but it's helpful for my brain to see that chart.
Yeah, I also liked that graph because sometimes people will use 6, sometimes people will use 8. So you can see depending, I mean, the interest rate is arbitrary because you can't control it, but you can kind of see the difference, or actually I would say like the not big difference, like how fast you're going to save. But it's less important to focus on the rate of return and more important to focus on the rate of saving, which is kind of where we get into going through in these next charts. Let's see. Yeah, and then the author just says like, the math works at every level. So yeah, and the magic of compound interest doesn't tend to reveal itself until you cross the 100,000 net worth mark, but then you get to see it at every level beyond there.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
So let's talk about how to do this. What are some of the key components? If we were to say, this is a great aim, I want to do this, how do we do it? Mm-hmm. And so Investopedia has a really great article breaking some of that down that we're going to go through. Jen, what do you think?
So I liked this article because it was a little different than all the other ones. Like, yes, you're going to get lower your expenses and increase your income. Duh, every article is going to say that. But there's a few unique perspectives that I think you don't really hear about or think about unless you're like entrenched in the personal finance world. So I really wanted to like go through all of these to make sure that like you know that it's not just about lowering your expenses and increasing your income. Obviously, those are the two biggest things, but there is more to it. So the first one here is the right mindset. This was actually the first one on most of the articles, which just brings like back home the point that your mindset is not just like a woo-woo thing that you don't have to think about. It is something that directly impacts your ability to do the concrete actions. And so for most people, saving, like what I said in the beginning, saving your first $100,000 is difficult because we don't think in six-figure numbers. We don't think that we are capable of those numbers because we have not reached them ourselves. We do not have people close to us that have reached them, or people in our outer network that have six-figure savings, at least that we know of. I would argue that there are probably people with six-figure savings that just don't talk about it because they think it seems like they're being better than other people. And so I think that's another reason why we need to like expand the personal finance conversation, because if you have $100,000 saved, you should feel more free talking about that in a way that lifts other people up and doesn't lift yourself up. And there for sure are ways to do that. But yeah, we need to have the right mindset and believe that a six-figure or seven-figure net worth is not only attainable, but it is simple to achieve and it is necessary to achieve. Honestly, $100,000 is not going to get you anywhere in retirement. So it is like minimal requirement to get to six figures. And it's just the earlier you get there, the better off you are down the road.
Similar to debt payoff, saving your first $100,000 is not going to happen accidentally. So we certainly have to have a mindset that corresponds with an ability to do this and the why behind it, why we're doing it, that's going to keep us sustained, because at best, it's going to take a little over 7 years. And for those of us who live on a little bit lower incomes, mm-hmm. it's going to take even longer than that. So that's a marathon. That's not a sprint. It's going to take a while. So we're going to have a good framework in our thought life and how we're going to get after this goal. Of course, the next thing, like we said, it's going to be on all of these articles, but it's worth the reminder that we're going to need to keep costs low. Mm-hmm. Again, this is going to be in a sustainable way. This cannot just be rice and beans forever and always, because again, we're talking 7 to 15 years that this could take us to get to this point. Usually after we've paid off debt, unless you're combining debt payoff with savings and investing, this is long term. So keeping costs low, but in a way that's going to work for you long term. Some of this could mean looking at, of course, your variable expenses, your food. That's a big expense every month. And so certainly making the smaller shifts, like dinner at home, not eating out as much. I know it sounds relatively minimal, but over 2 years, 10 years, that is going to add up to thousands of dollars of money savings that, if we've got that mindset to support it, can go towards that savings and investing.
Yeah.
Looking at transportation costs, housing costs. Of course, you want to look at the big expenses and the little expenses and trying to keep it as low as possible.
I was just thinking, so we say it's a marathon to get to $100,000, but you can run a marathon in a day. Like, you can run it in a day, a marathon. Yeah. And when you're trained, like, yeah. If you're a regular runner, even if I don't run marathons, but I'm a regular runner, like, I could run a marathon in a month or two, like a 26.2 miles. I could do that in like 2 months easily. Like, this is like a marathon is nothing compared to this. So like think about so that when you're using the terminology. Like it's not a sprint. It's not a marathon. It's like a lifelong, like this is a haul. Like I don't even know. It's not
training
even an ultra marathon.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
This is a training for an ultra triathlon.
And so like get the magnitude of it. Like this isn't, I know like fire bloggers and like all these other people will make it seem like it's easy to save money. It is a life like journey mission. I think it's a mission. I think that's the word I'm going to go with. But yeah, so
a mission, yes.
Yeah, so like these changes that you make in your lifestyle to reduce your expenses is that is significant because you're not, this isn't just a, I'm going to eat rice and beans for 6 months and sprint to see, you challenge myself to see how much debt I can pay off. I love that. I love that idea. But this is longer and you need to develop a system of values-based spending and understand yourself and what you want because that's the only way that you're going to make this type of saving sustainable. So yes, we love these tips. We've got over 200 of them in our Modern Frugal Living ebook that I'm sure a lot of you've seen. Those are just the start. Like those are the foundation, really identifying your values and creating a values-based spending system. That's the goal. Like that's the goal. That's the tool to get here. So I think that's like an important perspective that I like literally just came realized on the spot. The second one, I really appreciated the way this one was worded. The second one is to reduce your interest burden. I appreciate this line so much because typically you would see pay off your debt. But this is like a mindset shift of why are we paying off our debt? What's the point? Like, yeah, we hear, yeah, I shouldn't have any debt. Let me pay it off. It's evil. It's not. But the reason we pay off our debt is because it is charging us interest. It is costing us to have that money. If it was not costing us to borrow that money, no one would pay off their debt. Nobody's paid off their student loans in the last 2 years, their federal student loans. Like nobody has done that. Well, I'm so sorry if you have. I don't want to exclude you. But like most people haven't. If it's not costing you, you won't pay it off. And so the real thing that we're doing by paying off debt is reducing our interest burden. And we want to specifically focus on interest burdens that are higher than the returns that we could get through investing. And so that is a big distinction to make where there are camps where it's like, I only want to pay off debt and then I'll invest, or I only want to invest, I don't want to pay off debt, or somewhere in the middle. The real point of paying off debt is to reduce your interest burden. And I like the number 7% when calculating return, like long-term investment returns for a diversified portfolio. And so really anything, I know David Bach of the Latte Effect, he says anything under, anything over 5%. So anything over that 5 to 7%, that is a heavy interest burden and should definitely be eliminated. Anything under 5% is kind of like less pants on fire and more like sitting on hot coals sort of thing. So you can, if you're thinking about, maybe I should have gone with heavy things versus fire. I can't think of anything right now. But, and so, yeah, if you're thinking about your burden as being fire, things that are above what you would get in the in your long-term investment is, that's pants on fire, get rid of it. And then below is hot coals. It's definitely diminishing your returns, but it's not like you're not dumb for not getting rid of it. Like, so.
We've got so many images.
Yeah.
So much imagery happening here. Picturing people hopping around, taking their pants off.
I do not. Fire happening. Nowhere in my mind did people take their pants off, Jill. Nowhere.
You said if your pants are in fire, you want to get out of that.
You don't want to get something out of like that. That would be like consolidating your debt.
Take your and fiery take, pants
no,
off.
No, put the fire out, Jill. Gosh, your mindset needs to be shifted. We don't want to take the pants off. We want to put the fire out on the pants because we like the pants.
Okay. Well, eventually the pants will need to get changed because soot.
Move on.
The next one is invest in. Okay. And I refuse to use this word.
Same.
It's better than the word cheap, but I'm not using it. Invest in, I'm going to say, efficient vehicles and
the
products.
Word is
they
savvy.
Use the term savvy. Yeah.
Savvy.
I don't even understand what that is. So we're not using it.
So invest in efficient, smart vehicles and products. So once you have begun to ramp up your savings and investing, you've got a plan. You want to make sure that you're putting your money in the smartest possible place. So they list out a few things to be considering. We want vehicles and products that are going to help us save on taxes. Some of these tax sheltered investment options include your traditional 401k, your traditional IRA. These are things that help to protect and buffer us from some of that tax burden. They will be helpful vehicles for investing.
Yeah, it's helpful. We're not talking about cars. We're talking about investment vehicles and investment products.
This is not cars on fire.
Cars on fire.
No pants on fire.
Yeah. So I think what a lot of people miss, we talk a lot about low-cost investments. We really love index funds and ETFs because they're very affordable and user-friendly investment options. But people don't think about how much their taxes are. Taxes are higher. They are a higher percentage, quote-unquote, fee than any brokerage or managed fund will charge you. So that's kind of the first thing that you want to look at. And you don't get that on the actual investment. That's on the account. So that's why we love the tax advantage retirement accounts, your IRAs and your employer sponsored. So those are best. If you are, so we had this in our Q&A with our membership last night. Like if you have a IRA and you're maxing that out and you want to invest more and you don't have an employer-sponsored plan, where do you go? Well, one of your options is if you have your own business, you can actually open your own like solo 401k or something like that. You would have to see with a W-2. There are several different types of quote-unquote employer sponsored plans you can open yourself if you have like your own side hustle. You just have to see how that conflicts with what your W-2 employer does and doesn't offer. But if you cannot open some kind of ESP, employer sponsored plan, then you go to brokerage account, like a traditional regular brokerage account as your last resort. But it's going to be, you're paying taxes on what you've already earned, you're paying capital gains taxes, you're, you know, paying taxes later. Like, it's still better than a savings account for sure, especially long term, but it is taxed higher than an IRA or a 401k or comparable. So taxes are important. Pay attention to them.
Also along the lines of investing in the right types of vehicles, again, not a car that you're driving, but it's what you're putting your money into, what you're investing in.
I thought it was cars for a second.
That's amazing.
I know.
Is the manager risk appropriately? I know we talk about, or you hear this a lot, like what's your level of risk? And sometimes we don't know, but generally it's going to be considering how much time you have. How old are you? How much time do you have until you retire? That's going to dictate some of the risk that you might take. But also how much you know about the investment. Do your own research. Don't just take the information from one person who's doing something that sounds too good to be true. I know way too many people, and I'm not going to say what it was or who it was, but just invested in some very risky, because it wasn't even something to be investing in, didn't know much about it, just knew that someone who sounded kind of smart is doing this thing. And so like, I might as well do it too, and lost a lot of money. And that's not just unlucky. That's like, we didn't do our research.
Yeah.
So that's what we mean when we say manage risk.
Yeah.
Know what you're investing in and know how old you are and how much time you have.
Yes.
To be investing.
So I was listening to Scamfluencers, the podcast, and they were talking about this Hollywood scam, which ended up being a Ponzi scheme. But essentially, the guy was taking investments from his friends, and then instead of investing it into the actual business he said he had, he was paying off earlier investors. And that's a Ponzi scheme. And they were saying in the podcast that people invested their life savings into this, like everything they had, parents, grandparents, friends, because this person they thought was their friend, this person they knew, they just thought they trusted. And I was so sad because this, obviously, investing in businesses is a great way to get a higher return than the stock market. But the people that do that know that they could lose everything. And like venture capital funds expect only 20% of their investments to like make back a return. They just expect those 20% to make back all of the 80% of losses. Like that's how it works. You have to have money to lose if you're going to get these bigger gains from these like obscure investments. If you ain't got the money to lose, do it in a safe space. And for all that it's worth, the stock market is a safer space than so many other types of investments, especially if you are in a well-diversified portfolio. So that's what I learned from scamfluencers this week. The next is to maximize employee benefits. And so first we think of the matching on the 401k, which is always something you should get. I think, so we have like a chart in our membership in the investing lesson that gives you savings plans for 100,000, like a 5, 10, and 15 year plan. And I think the 10 year plan, one of the 10 year plans is just, it's $585 a month. And you could do $500 in an IRA and $85 in your employer-sponsored plan. And typically, that's going to be like, they'll match that too. So it's going to be, you'll get to it even faster. But yeah, so take that for sure. But there are other employee benefits that can help you as well, such as discounts at places. They'll help you lower your expenses. Health savings accounts. This is a great thing if you don't have maybe an employer-sponsored plan, but you do have a high-deductible healthcare plan through your employer that has a health savings account, because this can be used kind of exactly like a 401k, but with a little more flexible, much lower limit. So you can save like pre-tax, just like a 401k, and you can use it throughout your life on any qualified medical expenses. But if you don't, and you use it like a 401k, then I think it's 59 and a half. I could be wrong. I think it might be 70. I don't know. Check my math. Check my facts. It converts to a regular retirement account. So yeah, that health savings account is a great option if you have access to that and not like a 401k or something. But yeah, maximize your employee benefits. And whenever you're looking for new jobs to increase your income, compare employee benefits as well. Like ask to look at their 401k plan and look in the investments inside of it. See what the fees are on them. Ask about their, you know, health savings account options. Like these are things that are also going to impress whoever you're interviewing with, because it means you know your stuff.
These last two I'm going to combine because I think that they can go hand in hand. And also, you've heard of this. You know this. This is just your friendly reminder to create short-term goals and generate additional income. We are going to be far more likely to get at big, lofty goals if we break them down into bite-sized, manageable, attainable pieces that allow us to experience wins along the way, celebrate, see the successes, see that we can do it, build our resilience, have muscle memory, break it down into short-term savings goals. And when those savings goals, even in the short term, feel a little bit too beyond your reach, generate additional income. I mean, even if they're not beyond your reach, generate additional income, because then you can reach all those short-term goals faster. So whether that means talking with your current employer, changing jobs, or starting a side hustle, you name it, it's always going to be a fantastic thing to aim at in how can I increase my income. We're not saying to
push yourself to the point of stress, overwhelm, fatigue. But are there creative ways to be bringing in more income that's going to help us get at these short-term savings goals and the long-term savings goals, get us to that $100,000, and then just see the growth from there? And we're here for you along the way. And you know what else we're also here for?
I have a follow-up statement. We're here for my follow-up statement, Jill.
Okay.
I just wanted to say, like, it's no longer an option to only have one stream of income. Like, the world is volatile, inflation is insane, and it's no longer acceptable for us to have one stream of income. Like, I think we all know that at this point, even if we're trying to avoid the fact. Is it okay? Is it just? Debatable. Like, probably not. But we can sit around and wait for things to change outside of our control, or we can do something about it that's inside of our control now. And if you wait 5 years, you're going to wish that you had started 5 years ago when you heard this. And so I think it's important. It's more important than just like, oh, let me get on Uber or Uber Eats and make some quick cash. I think we all need to be focused on how do I like generate additional income long term. And that's all I have to say about that.
Taking into consideration your capacity, I'm holding the tension. I'm holding the tension of those tent stakes on all sides, because I know that there are some people who work 80 hours a week, even 60 hours a week, and recognize your life season, recognize your capacity. But certainly, I agree, have your sights on this, whether that means that's not sustainable, even if you stay in that job. So that could mean a change in employment that generates additional income, or it could mean, yes, that we find ways that don't overwhelm or overburden us that could bring in additional income. Just the permission for creativity in this space, that we don't have to stay in one place and think, this is just what I have to base my life around.
Yeah.
Make what you set your hands to also work for you. You know what we also make work for us?
Jill, it's never going to be there. It's never going to be there. Okay, it's there.
The Bill of the Week.
That's right. It's time for the best minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, Buffalo Bills, Bill Clinton. This is the Bill of the Week.
Hello. So I'm Grace from Maryland, and I, first off, love the podcast, but my Bill of the Week is that I was like looking at my budget and everything. And I was like, okay, well, I could cancel my digital only Weight Watchers subscription. I was like, yeah, they advertise other things in the program as well, like little things you could buy too. So I'm like, how is that really different than MyFitnessPal, which is free, you know? Okay, I'll cancel that. I'll switch over to MyFitnessPal. I mean, I enjoy the community and Weight Watchers, but I'm going to make do. Save the money. And then as I'm like going through the cancellation process and everything, it's like, oh, this discounted price, $13 a month? And I'm like, no, cancel. It's like, 2 free months. So I'm like, okay. So that's my Bill of the Week. I got 2 free months of Weight Watchers because I was like, nah, I'm going to cancel. So I gave them the fake out. Although I was actually serious. Anyway, that's my Bill of the Week. Bye.
That's hilarious. I'm so glad that we could help you get that.
I love the it was serious, but then it turned into a fake out and the benefit that you can receive from that. So that is both a tip for someone who wants to try and reduce expenses to see what is the company going to give you, because they'd rather have your loyalty than lose you. But also, I would encourage you, once those 2 free months are up, see what your life is like without it. Are there things that you can implement beyond that, that you don't have to pay for that subscription? Again, when we're talking about getting that, some debt payoff or long-term savings goals, those are the things that are really going to help us. Not keeping those $10, $13, $20, $28 subscriptions, but really honing in on our budget and figuring out free alternatives. We're here for you. We're celebrating that bill. If you all listening have a bill, whether it's a fake out or a real out or your pants are on fire, no, we want to hear it. Visit frugalfriendspodcast.com/bill. Leave us your bill.
Today, I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
And now it's time for Lightning Round.
You think that's how their pants got on fire? They were hit by lightning?
Yes, possibly. Gosh, they'd have more problems than their pants being on fire. If that's
so true. Well, in this episode of questions that Goldie has given us to get vulnerable with you, I like this one. What is the most challenging part of saving for you? Jill.
Competing goals. I have so many things that I want to do with my money, and I have made more money. I have generated additional income, which is so amazing to see that it's possible. From 2018 to 2022, we've really done it. We've done it. And I hope that we keep doing it, but the goals keep increasing. And the part of that could be lifestyle inflation for sure. But I've got so many things that I want to do and that I want to do right now that it can be tough to get at that one thing of $10,000 a year. I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. I'd love to get to the point of doing that, but I also want to cash flow renovations. I also want to not get into further debt. And the reality is that while I want to avoid a scarcity mindset, my resources are not unlimited. I don't have unlimited money. I'm still like a very typical person. Like I don't make crazy amounts of money. I make more than I did 5 years ago, but I still have to be really thoughtful about what am I going to do with this? So some of that has to do with, all right, can I give myself grace, freedom, and permission to take time to even get to that $10,000 of savings idea? But also, can I generate more income? And so some of this cash flowing renovations is what's going to allow us to generate more income through having short-term rentals. So I have to keep reminding myself of, why am I doing what I'm doing? How is this helping me get to my goal? I can't do it all. Everything at once. Is this still the best thing to be doing with my time, energy, resources? Okay, keep going.
Nice.
That's my little self-talk.
I will say you may have gone first, but I wrote down my answer first, and mine is also goals. So mine is specifically having concrete goals. I have, competing goals is, I think, most people's answers. Like, there are so many things pulling for our money. And with every increase in income, we have another financial goal to add somehow. But I think for me, I am still a little burnt out from our debt payoff journey. I know it's been like 5 years, but those 2 years were very traumatizing. And I have, I don't know. And then we saved like so fast for our, to get to that first 100K. And so I think it hasn't been challenging like stocking away money because our frugality allows us to naturally spend under what we make. We pay less attention to our budget if we have one because we know what we make and what we want and we just save the excess. And so having a concrete goal though does help us save more. Like with the buying the new house, that was like a big thing for us. So a big savings goal. So I would say, yeah, having the concrete goal, having the one goal. I think we can sum this lightning round up by saying like focus on one goal, which is what we always say, focus on one goal at a time. And so if you are paying off debt and you still want to get the clock running on your compound interest, you don't have to choose one or the other, but choose one as your primary goal and then just maybe do a little excess here and there at the other. And for most people listening, that's usually going to be like focus on paying off the debt, especially if it is a heavy interest burden, and then get your employer match every month if you have one, or do $100 into a Roth IRA every month. Money that you won't miss, that won't make a big difference in your debt payoff, so that you can start to get that ball rolling, but it doesn't feel like these goals are competing.
Yeah. Having something on in the background that you're not thinking about, the auto payment into that savings, so that your real time, energy, attention goes to the things that are going to be necessary for whatever the main goal is at the time. Mm-hmm. Thanks, everyone, so much for listening. It's been a pleasure hanging out with you. And many of you know that we have a private community where we do monthly money challenges. This is the community I was talking about through this episode where Jen was like, I have a goal to help people get to this $100,000 of savings. So if this sounds intriguing to you, feel free to check it out. But we also offer accountability groups, and we want to congratulate people in this community. One of our members just had a big win, Emily. And she titled her announcement Up Level. She said, finally opened up a Roth IRA for my husband. Now we just need to link his accounts and fund it. I also opened up an online bank account so I can get out of my Shifty account. Oh, that's not what she said, but I'm glad I... That was my way of censoring.
I did that on purpose.
Get out of her Shifty account. I really need to switch all of our bank accounts and consolidate them, but one step at a time. Next step is a switch to my direct deposit. I'm going to use this thread to update my progress so y'all can hold me accountable.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm going to go back in and check that thread, Emily, but congrats. I love all the actionable progress that you are making. And yeah, right now in May, we're doing an investing challenge. So you'll just have to see what our challenge is for June.
Amazing. Thanks everyone for listening. If you want to check out our monthly challenge community, head to frugalfriendspodcast.com/club to see what challenge we have coming up next.
See y'all next week.
Frugal Friends is produced by Eric Sirianni.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.